guys.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. We let them take our God and guns. Yeah, I'm here in my neck of the woods where God is great and guns are good. You really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them. Oh, there was a time we ain't forgot. You could rest all night with your doors on. Say your prayers and you thank the Lord for that peacemaker in the dresser drawer.
Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism.
And good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. We're going to jump right into the show today, Bing and I. We've got three great guests. We've got John Marler. We've got Justin and Justin's, I think it's Paget, but I'm not sure. I don't have his notes up right in front of me right at the moment because I've got another page up. And, of course, Patriot Char. We'll be bringing our three Agenda 21 special guests in here shortly. I do want to start off with my editorial, though. It's been a few weeks since I wrote one, and I had some thoughts earlier this week with the weekend before November 6th. This is called Reflections of the Road Less Traveled. As the sun sets on this final weekend prior to the general election of 2012, I found myself in quiet reflection of the past 1.5 years. Reflection of that road less traveled by so many of us who fear for our country. That lonely road of standing firm on our principles, American values, traditions, self-reliance, and the freedom associated with the liberty our founding fathers left us. My thoughts wander back to the day I determined myself to expand my efforts locally in the fight for America, my disdain for President Obama, and my attention and above-average interest in activism. I recall the moment when I made the decision that my support, my efforts, my spare time, my dedication, and above all, my can-do spirit would be best focused in support of Herman Cain. And at that moment, I found the volunteer site, signed up, and quickly made my presence known. Inside of an hour, I was asked to take a lead role here in Tarrant County, along with David Stevens and Vicky Creek. Simultaneously, I began getting acquainted with folks all across this great country of ours. Folks like Danny Schaus, my brother from Kentucky, who taught me proper etiquette and how to redirect conversation on the dashboard when things weren't, or when things were, heading south in discussion. Or good men like Scott Osborne and Scott Whitting, who welcomed me and encouraged me with my writing abilities, who would later be brothers on one of the very last campaigns I was on for Zach Poskovich in Tennessee, as a matter of fact. And I lost my place. Leaders such as Bill Monsees, who spotted that ability and put it to use for the state leadership team as state social media coordinator. Awesome people like Kiori Kai and Teresa Brusky, who helped groom my social media and Twitter abilities. Other fine patriots like Billy Cotter, Brenda Ward, and Rick Bulow, all of whom eventually became my partners on a little radio venture that we created at the urging of another great patriot, Stephen Williams. I think about my two great partners, the first one, Becca Lauer, and then my current brother and partner, Bing Fisher, both of whom have helped made Conservative Nation radio shows and Soldiers of Patriotism the great show that it is today. And so many other people that I have nearly not enough space nor time to list them all, but fine Americans just the same. So I hope you know, if you're hearing this and you know me, you know that I'm speaking of you. It is with this reflection of this road I've traveled that I reflect on the honor and privilege I have had to meet so many great patriots in the Tea Party, the grassroots, and all the campaigns I've been on. I think of the service to our country, our birthright, our America, and I weep with sorrow and joy simultaneously. Yet as I reflect, I hold out hope for our children and the future we want for them, for the America they're entitled to inherit. Reflection can be a good thing. With reflection comes pain, healing, and happiness. With reflection comes desire and hope, a word that was hijacked in 2008, but it's a word that I'm stealing back. With reflection of all above comes the thought of a new road we shall walk together on November 7th, 2012. And with reflection comes the thought of a poem about a road we all traveled together, shoulder to shoulder, with the sword of freedom in one hand and the Constitution in the other. And with the going down of the sun on this first chapter we have written together, I wish to say to all of you, may your life be calm, tranquil, and joyful, as its meridian was bright, glorious, and useful. And it is of this poem I say to all of you great patriots, thank you. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I marked the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. All right, let's bring in my partner here, Brother Bing. How's it going, my man? You there, dude? Bing, can you hear me? Well, let's, Char, can you hear me, Char?
I sure can.
Okay, Bing must be tied up right at the moment. Let's go ahead and bring Rick on in here. Oh, that's, I'm sorry. Where is Bing at? That's John I brought in here.
I think Bing dropped off.
Oh, okay. All right, well, he'll probably call back here in just a second. Let me go ahead then in that case, Rick, let me go ahead and bring in Char here so we can get this ball rolling on the Agenda 21 show. Char, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Blessed and highly favored. How about you?
I'm doing terrific. I can't complain, except for that this darn computer, but you know how those things go. But let me go ahead, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Char. We've got you, John, and Justin. So you go ahead and take the show from here, my friend. This is our monthly installment of Agenda 21. I'm not in the chat room, by the way, folks. Char is in one chat, and I'm sure as soon as Bing gets back that he'll be in the be using the other chat. So go ahead, Char.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see everybody here and hope to see a whole lot more before the end of the show. I want to start off by introducing, most of you know John Marler, so I don't know that there's a lot of introduction that needs to be done there. He's pretty well known all over Texas, but I do want to introduce you to Justin Padgett. Justin and John Marler both are on the steering committee for the Texans Against Smart Meters, and this is kind of how I got started on the show, was by doing, you know, putting together a show on the smart meters. And Justin has been very involved in the Agenda 21 movement also, so I'm going to bring him on first, and then we're going to flip over to John Marler. Justin, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Char, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Great. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what the problem, what the issues are with the Agenda 21, especially how it gets into the local levels, I think.
Well, Agenda 21, for those that do not know what it is, it's a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations systems. What Agenda 21 does is really measures the impact that humans have on the environment. And what Agenda 21, the goals are to enact local land development codes and local laws and initiatives to promote and further the Agenda 21 objectives. And what we're seeing in Central Texas is just that. We're implementing sustainable development and Agenda 21 here in Central Texas and San Marcos. That's where I really found out about Agenda 21. I found about it very innocently. I was taking a real estate course in, you know, green. It's called a green designation, and I thought, well, you know, I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm a good steward of the environment, and I need to be able to communicate these green objectives that these people in Austin want. You know, I just couldn't really communicate what some of these people wanted. And very innocently, I was taking this class, and you know, I'm the nerd that actually reads the footnotes at the bottom of the lectures, and so it was taking me to links the summits in Copenhagen, and it actually had a link to Agenda 21, and it talked about how much energy people use in America, and it started comparing us to India and some of these third world countries. You know, it made us sound pretty evil, that we expend 20 times the energy that some of these countries do. And I started reading Agenda 21, and when I got to page 2, I was like, what? And so, I thought, how can the National Association of Realtors be promoting such an agenda that's promoting social justice and social equity and the three E's of sustainability and sustainable development? And that's really where I found out about it, Char, and that's where my fight began. And so I started looking at some of our local land development codes here and realized we were very much involved in Agenda 21. and our community is implementing it phase by phase by phase. So, do you want me to keep going? I don't want to ramble on because
Talk a little bit about the. Didn't you stumble across something here a week or so ago about how it's connected to the cap and trade? And also talk about the patent that you found.
Talk about the what?
The patent.
Oh, the patent. Okay. Well, what I found is there, you know, that the smart meters are very much connected with Agenda 21 because it is a way of measurement of how much energy we use or our impact on the environment. And what I discovered is Fannie Mae had applied for a patent. Yes, Fannie Mae applied for this patent. I wrote an article about it, and it's posted on my website, resist21.com, and texansagainstsmartmeters.com. And Franklin Raines was the quote-unquote, I believe, inventor. It's all in the article, but essentially what this does is the smart meters are the unit, an instrument, that can convert our energy into a commodity, a tradable commodity. And what this essentially is doing is enabling a system to send our carbon credits to a computer, which is going to allow these to be traded as carbon credits, otherwise known as cap and trade. So any local community that is implementing smart meters, any one of these politicians that say they're opposed to cap and trade but have voted for smart meters have essentially voted for cap and trade.
And I think a lot of times out of ignorance, wouldn't you think?
Well... You know, it amazes me. I'm just an average, everyday individual, and I'll be real honest with you. You know, 4 years ago when I started this journey, I didn't, even as a realtor, it's a little bit embarrassing, but I want this to be an encouraging message to people on the line. I didn't even know that our county commissioners set the a portion of our tax rate. You know, I didn't really know the role of government or our local government or what an MPO was or a COG was. And when I started this journey 4 years ago, I thought, golly, how am I going to figure all this mess out? So really what I've done over the past 4 years is try to convert what's been going on and I'm trying to be able to relay it in layman's terms for the average individual who doesn't have the time to wade through the documents or wade through, you know, what is a COG, or, you know, they don't have 40 hours to you know, see what's going on there. I think it's important, and I think that's really where our battle begins, is to educate our people and our communities what the proper role of government is. Agenda 21 is flipping the way we see our communities, and what Agenda 21 is doing is putting community rights above the individual. And the last time I checked in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, community rights aren't addressed. They're individual rights. And
It's
called communitarianism. I'm still going down that path as to what communitarianism is, but essentially what it is putting community rights above the individual. So anybody that's for smart meters and says that they're great, what we're finding is the stimulus money has been instrumental in encouraging local communities to implement these smart meters and to bring them on home, try to bring the tax dollars on in. Just like my former mayor said, it's our tax dollars, we're entitled to it too. And I said, well, we're entitled to the tax dollars, but what strings are attached? You know, that's what's never discussed. How many of our liberties and freedoms are you sacrificing when you take this money, you know, from the federal government? So
exactly. We all know that our federal government doesn't do anything for us without strength.
Right, exactly. Do we have a break coming up, or do you want me to keep going?
No,
you go right ahead. You go right ahead, Justin. We don't. This is a break-free radio.
We don't.
This is privately funded. A privately funded venture, and so I don't have to.
Michael, can you go ahead and open up the line for John Marler to join in too, and let's just kind of
let me get John in here.
They can tag team it.
I'm already here. Justin, you did a good job there. What I found when I have been researching this for many years, and what I've come up with and what I talk about is that it is more than just an attack on the foundations of America. It's an attack on the foundations of the Christian biblical faith. But let me go into what my definition of Agenda 21. It is a global governance plan that is to regulate and control literally every facet of human activity on the face of the earth, so that they can come up with a one-world government and global citizenship, and you can hear that from your grandkids or your kids in school all the time. But it's going to be done, this is the key to it to me, it is going to be done through regulatory processes that eliminate citizen participation. In other words, you will not have a chance to vote yay or nay on any of the applications that are involved in this. And it's when I say by regulation, I'm talking about an executive order 12852 that was issued in 1993 by Clinton. And in that executive order, he actually orders every branch of the federal government, every subdivision of the federal government, even down to the little three-man office that does the agendas for the cabinet meetings in the White House, to implement at all possible opportunity the protocols of Agenda 21 and to report every 5 years to the United Nations as to how well they're doing. This Agenda 21 was a treaty that H.W. Bush signed but was rejected by the Senate after a man by the name of Michael Kaufman read all the documents, started analyzing the document called the Biodiversity Assessment that came out of Agenda 21. And in this map, he has been able to create a copy of what they had anticipated to happen by 2050. I don't think their timeline's on time, but their course has been set, and their steps are being followed, you might say, religiously. But you can picture the United States and picture only 15% of the areas that are populated today, only 15% of them containing all the residents of the United States, with 85% of the property being unlawful for human development or human footprints in a large part of it. So we've got to enlarge the definition to include all this, and the processes that they do this through is through, quote, free money. And by that I mean counties and city governments are signing up for the International Council of Local Energy Initiatives, ICLEI, to have a fellowship with other cities and counties so that they can discuss the points, but they get a free software package that helps them to implement what is called smart growth programs, smart development programs, and so forth. But if you look back at the map, how are they going to get all the people off all that land and move it towards these population centers? In the map, you really have to look close because it's only the black area that can be done. When you look at that map, there's got to be procedures and actions and maneuvers and so forth that will force you into those stack and pack population centers. Now, one of the key things that have identified 45 diagnosed medical issues that include palpitations, arrhythmias, bleeding eyeballs, brain tumors. We have identified a number of things, including autism, has risen in almost direct proportion to the number of smart meters installed in the United States and around the world. So we're not talking about something that's removed out of the realm of harm, as you will hear from many companies that are implementing these. Your utility companies will give you a report that was produced by a group called the California Council on Science and Technology. And in this report, they have this beautiful little chart that puts smart meters at 30 times less a problem than a cell phone. What they do not tell you is that they copied almost verbatim the manuals from the manufacturers to produce this report, and that numerous people, a Dr. Havas, a Dr. Johansson, a number of people that were on the CCST committee and wanted to issue a report that was in contrary to the actual official report, and they quoted that the report was a complete inversion of the results, that the smart meters, when fully implemented into the smart grid, will cause 30 times more damage than the overhead power lines that you see carrying transmissions from state to state. And if you know anything about that, you're not allowed to build within a 500-meter range of any of those towers because of the fear of human damage that's there. So we have a scientific body that has done a scientific analysis, and they are the ones that are trying to help us fight these smart meter implementations. And at the same time, we have the legislators who really do not see it as a problem. We have the PUC who actually misinterpreted a law here in Texas that said we wanted you to encourage, three times in the law that was passed, to encourage things like smart meters if it was proven to be useful in reducing cost to the consumer and so forth. But what the PUC did was turned it into a mandate that point blank tells you you are no longer permitted to have the freedom of choice, and from here on out, the edict of this tyrannical power grab by the PUC and by the various utility companies is now more important than the constitutional right of being free from a tyrannical edict. And if you think about the revolution, what was our whole purpose? Is to get rid of a tyrant. Well, we're building up our own tyrant through regulatory processes, and the other regulatory body that we need to be aware of are the non-government organizations. We have 45,000 of them here in the state of Texas. These are government agencies like the Central Texas Council of Government. I think Justin referred to them as COGS, COG, Councils of Government. This is a body that is given block grants on like federal highway funds, et cetera, and they do not have to go back to the citizen for a bond election because they get, quote, free money. But there is not one citizen in the United States that elected a single member of a COG to that office. What happens is, like here, any city or any county that wants to join the CT COG simply signs on, pays their dues for it, and then sends one of their representatives to be the representative for that city or county. That is not governmental authority as approved by the U.S. Constitution or even by the Texas Constitution, but it's being done 45,000 times. Then you see these COGs coming up with partnerships. This is called private-public partnerships, PPPs. The public-private partnerships and the COGs get together and they say, okay, we want to have this particular living, sustainable community to be built. It is not put out for bid. It is strictly, here's your job, and you get the rewards of this job. Again, not allowing citizens to even determine if that community needs to be built because it's free money. And this is what's happening to the United States all over. And more states, counties, and cities are rejecting this. City of Cedar Park rejected Agenda 21. The state of Alabama has issued has signed a new law that forbids Agenda 21 or international programs to be based in the laws of the state and the county and the city. And we're hoping that they will broaden that to make sure that it does include the smart meter installation. It is a fight that we are fighting. There are generals in our army. I don't consider myself one of those, but like Michael Kaufman, David Shaw, Tom DeWeese, people of that stature who have been fighting this for 24, 25 years now have said that they have seen more results in the last 18 months than they've had in the last 24 years fighting this. And what it entails is that we have people like Justin, myself, a number of other people, Kathy Adams of the Eagle Forum and so forth, out talking against Agenda 21. And what the difficulty is getting people to believe that it is a threat to them in their home. And the quote that I think is so valid is you look at Agenda 21's words themselves, and it says the effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society. Question.
Where is the fight? Is it at the governor's office?
Huh?
Is it the state level? Is it at the federal level or the state level, or is it on an extraneous level?
All. It has to start with your own city and county governments. It has to go to the state legislature. It's got to go to the regulatory bodies. It's got to go to the governor. We, through the processes that Shar was able to implement, we had a sit-down with the lieutenant governor of Texas, and he and his staff reviewed our documentation and felt it sufficient of a warrant to tell the Texas Senate that they should do a investigation into the health issues and the security issues of the smart meters.
Well,
it's a battle on all fronts.
It is a battle on all fronts. And when you got the UN sitting there, you know, wanting to monitor our elections, This is even outside of the realm of the Constitution. This is so far out there, and it's not funny.
I think with the question of how do we fight locally, or how do we fight back with this, that's one thing that I've really been looking at is specifics, because what ICLEI's main objective is coordinating with local communities and local municipalities and regional bodies of a pseudo-government to realize exactly what mechanisms need to be put in place at that level to further the sustainable development objectives. So, like, Texas has its own state laws that, you know, they have to overcome to make our land have more land development codes on it. Texas, I wrote an article about it. It's called the gap analysis. For example, Texas had some of the most free land in the nation. And what Clinton had done was he ordered the gap analysis back when he was president. And what it is he had an inventory of all the land through geographical information systems. And they inventoried all the plants and animal life, and they're utilizing the Endangered Species Act in most all areas of Texas. I know that for sure. And then they go back to the state law to see what they can implement to further restrict land and land use. Well, what they've done in Texas in unincorporated areas or areas outside of cities is passed Chapter 232 legislation at the state, which enable the county commissioners, it's given them unprecedented authority to pass these subdivision regulations that are outside of cities. And so very simply what you'll see is is new subdivision regulations. You'll also see, look at your sewer regulations, your on-site sewage facilities or septic tank regulations in Texas. Those will become more restrictive. They'll really try to restrict those more. Look at your water well restrictions and minimum lot size requirements. And in the city where the – when you go into the municipalities where your fight is, with smart growth – sorry. With smart growth, you're going to – you know, those are land development codes that are being passed by your city council. I don't know a time that you find more restrictive land development code that makes a man or woman more free.
Look, let me ask you, Justin and John, okay, and even Char. I know what ICLEI is, and I know what sustainable development is. I know what Agenda 21 is, but how many other people actually know this? It's under all these buzzwords. It needs to be encompassed into one, simple thing that people can understand. And yes,
you know what, see, that's one of the ways that they keep us at bay like they do. I tell people, you know, and trust me, I am a novice compared to these two guys. But the more I learn about this, the more I realize, and I kind of liken it into like a cancer that has all these tentacles that literally reaches into every area of your body. And
yeah, you're correct.
The general public begins to get smart about their terms, they change it.
Well,
I think we have to come up with some sort of simple, real simple explanation to explain what this is and what it does and how it is going to affect this country.
The problem is, which area are you talking about, Bing? Like I said, it reaches into so many different areas. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I think what I'm hearing you say, Mike, is that we need to identify a single point of attack, and that's impossible. Picture a globe with an octopus on it. The difference is that this octopus is covering the Earth with millions of tentacles. I mean, we've got the Wildlands Project. We've got the Wilderness Project. We've got the Wetlands Project. We've got the President's Council on Rural Sustainability Project. We have so many tentacles that what we need are millions of warriors that are going to pick up the hatchet to chop off one tentacle at a time. And that's what you see happening. It's not just, if you picture two whirlwinds coming up against the globe, one of them is government and one of them is religion. And if you're a believer in the biblical Jesus Christ, you understand that Revelation says at the end times there will be a central entity called the one world government that is also the one world religion. And through projects of the Parliament on World Religions, United Nations is taking initiative to try to mold everybody into a single force. And we're seeing that the global ethic that they have produced have now identified through their definitions what an authentic human is. And an authentic human is one who agrees with all these programs of sustainability. And those who are not authentic are the ones that are really unsustainable. And if you think of the Nuremberg laws with how they treated Jewish people, they declared them to be non-human. Well, here we have an official document towards a global ethic that literally defines people as either authentic or non-authentic and gives the right for them to be able to liquidate at some point because based on that definition. And that is permeating everything. Go to a web address called Green Faith. Green Faith gives you a list of the Southern Baptist Convention, the United Methodist Convention, both sections of the Presbyterian Church, the evangelical groups that have all submitted sustainability agreements. green agreements that says predominantly that their primary function on Earth is to save the Earth. Well, that is a direct violation of biblical injunction. We are not to be anything more than stewards of what has been put on Earth. And our main function remains what Jesus himself said, to carry the gospel to every corner of the earth. This is how the attack is coming. It's a coming from so many directions and at so many ways that until we get enough warriors to actually go after each and every one of these points, we can't fight it. I believe we can fight it. We're seeing victories literally on a daily basis where people have been able to reject it. We got our mind city. I got that city out of Ickley. Ickley has suffered the first time in their history since 1990. They actually preceded the Agenda 21, but their membership grew up until last year. And last year they suffered their first losses because of the actions that have been taken.
Well, I think if we could define, or not define, but refine the enemy, we will know the enemy. And the enemy actually is evil, okay? The enemy is evil. We all know that. There's nobody here that doesn't understand that. But we have to understand where this is coming from, why they are doing this, that kind of thing. There has to be some kind of coherent thought on this so everybody can get together on this. I know you talked about, you know, the tentacles all over, and they're all over the place. You know, they're reaching into our private lives. They're reaching into every single aspect of our lives. But I think that if for us to explain it to the regular person that we talk to on the street, it needs to be in some sort of coherent form, I think, that they can understand. Not that we can understand, but they can understand. Do you know where that comes from?
I agree, but I think I know where the head of the dragon is, really, where if we spend a little bit and focus a little bit more of our efforts, we could really do a lot of damage. And what's killing us is the federal money. The federal money is the crack cocaine that the federal government's divvying it out, and, you know, our communities are just bending over backwards to realign our communities to get that money. And what it is it's through HUD, Housing and Urban Development, Department of Transportation, and EPA. It is it's the triad that is killing us. And it's called the Sustainable Communities Regional Planning Grant. It's the first step in really taking and analyzing our communities to see what steps we can make over the next 10, 20 years to further the objectives. Well, the reason that communities are bending over backwards is they know that once they reach these indicators, they qualify. What happens is they qualify at a certain status. And when they reach that status, then that puts them to qualify for more grants, which will set up public-private partnerships.
More money. Go ahead, Justin.
Right.
I'm
getting a little feedback. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's through infill development and brownfield developments. They really go into communities and they pick what part of the local Agenda 21 planning guide says is to go in and, for the lack of a better term, is pick out the useful idiots that, you know, they know that control a lot of the land inside these, fake urban growth boundaries. They go into these communities, they look at the most influential people, they snag those people, and they show them. You show the community how you can qualify, you know, for these grants, and they know the payday's coming because you can look at these grants that are written out in black and white. And then they have these objectives, and then they write out these objectives about the metropolitan statistical area, and then how the funding is awarded.
Well,
so
it's basically bribery.
I think if you
and you said bend over backwards, I think they're bending over forwards. If you know what I mean.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, these people, look, they want the money. And it's the same thing. I see it up here, you know, with farmers that grow corn crop for food corn and, or feed corn. And it doesn't produce, or they say it doesn't produce, but I see them, you know, harvesting it all the time up here. And all of a sudden, you know, they get, you know, another truck, a brand new John Deere, whatever, a big combine, whatever. And it's all from the government insurance that, you know, that I think the whole issue of this, everything, the root of this is the government. If the government would get out of the way, people would be able to do things. People would be able to get things accomplished. People would be able to do great things. And I think that's where the root of all this lies. Mm-hmm. And we just have to get this, I don't know, terminology. Agenda 21, people go, oh, that's kooky stuff. You know, we heard that on Alex Jones or something, you know, or, you know, sustainable development. They don't understand. They can't even say sustainable. You know, so I'm trying to think of some way of getting this out to the masses in some way that they can understand this.
Well, David Shaw and Tom DeWeese, who have been doing this for 25 years, have tried to do the same thing, and there is no, they have not come up with a consensus that allows us to show the depth of the horror. We're talking about infiltration in the school systems. We're talking about infiltration in every facet of our living ability. I don't know if there is a way to do it. When I give my talks across the state, one of the common comments is, "You're scaring the hell out of me," even though you've encouraged us. But the it is really that point. I mean, Mike, Char, Justin, everybody, we have a rendezvous with destiny. We're going to preserve for our children this country. This is the last hope of man on earth, or we're going to sentence them to take the first steps into 1,000 years of pure darkness. If we're going to fail...
Well,
I think it should be that we allow ourselves to say that we were justified in our stay here on this earth, that we did everything that we could, and the battle has to be, I pick the primary battle being the New World Order. Justin picks the common battle of the smart growth. It is all part of a package, but if we do not go after it by the expertise of the individuals, we don't have an ability to terminate this. I wish there was a way to express this to one group of people. One of my ways to do it is saying it's a way to take you out of the picture without all that messy freedom stuff getting involved. You know, these are terms that I use because I try to express it to everybody I speak with that this is going to be so pervasive. I said, have you ever seen the movie 1984? Yeah. Well, that'll never happen in America. I said, what if it could happen by just simply turning on a chip's binary gate and then from that chip be able to hear every word that you speak? Well, it can't happen. And I said, yes, it can.
Yes,
and
it can.
I bring up, Mike, do you remember, how old are you?
Who?
Mike.
Oh, I don't know about, well, Michael's a year younger than I.
I'm sorry,
Bing.
Yeah, this is Bing that you're talking.
Okay,
Bing.
I'm 49.
Do you remember the story of the thing?
We're so close, man. We're like, you know, peas in a pod. So, you know,
do you guys remember the big blow up in the United Nations when the thing was discovered? That's what they called it.
The thing.
The thing.
Yeah, the thing.
Yeah, the non-powered listening device that was in the United States embassy in Moscow that for 8 years recorded every word that they spoke.
Every freaking word, dude.
Freaking word. And the CIA team that, you know, were able to identify what it did, said that if it had as much as a 9-volt battery attached to it, it could have picked up 300 meters of what was being said.
I want to interject real quick here. I've been looking through this this greenfaith.org website, and I just want to point. I'm glad you pointed this out to me, because I loathe all of this talk about me.
Doesn't that blow you out? Doesn't that just get you angry?
Well, yeah, I'm going to start.
Michael, are you mad yet?
Yeah, I'm going to start with my denomination, which actually is really no longer my denomination. Here in Texas, or at least in my diocese, we split from the Episcopalian USA, and I'm no longer really Episcopalian. I'm Anglican, and I belong to the Anglican Church of England.
You mean Anglican?
Or Anglican, I mean Anglican.
But you might be Anglican too.
Yeah. I don't know how I said that. Anyway, I'm not surprised at the Episcopalians in what they say. Be it resolved that the challenge of global warming can be met without a national policy. We support federal legislation that will achieve 15-20% in reduction of carbon emissions. And they keep talking a lot about carbon emissions. I'm looking at the Quakers. Quakers are talking about carbon emissions. The only one I'm really impressed with, actually, are the Southern Baptists. They say we have recently engaged in a study, reflection, and prayer related to the challenges presented by environmental and climate change issues. These things have not always been treated with pressing concern as major issues. Instead, some of us have required considerable convincing before becoming persuaded. But my point is and this is one of the things that scares me with another 3 years with Obama, and I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here from the Agenda 21 show.
No,
but
you're not.
This whole notion of carbon emissions. Folks, I hope you do realize what's coming with all of this talk of carbon emissions. It's called carbon tax, and I've heard it bannered about here just in the past few days on the news again. So, and when you've got a government that's thirsty for money, can't get enough by taxing all of us that make the money, that earn our livings, they're going to start looking for new and creative ways to get our money. Extra.
Right.
Michael, can I explain something real quick to everybody?
Yeah.
Carbon is black. It's nasty. Okay, I work with it. It's just like, you know, it's just a nasty black powder stuff, you know, and all the graphite and everything that gets all over it. What they're talking about carbon to make it look like it's bad is CO2. CO2 is two molecules of dioxide, actually it's carbon dioxide, so it's two molecules of oxygen, one molecule of carbon, okay? And plants feed on this stuff. This is what actually makes us survive as a planet. It has done this since we've been around for God knows who long, or how long. But they want to make everything. They started out with CO2. That didn't work. It ain't working. So they changed the methodology and the terminology to carbon. Carbon just looks like it just looks nasty. It looks dirty. It's just, you know, you don't want to be around charcoal. I mean, if you think about it, carbon is like a piece of charcoal that you hold in your hand. You don't want that. You know, but they demonize people that are against them. Al Gore run in this state of Tennessee up here, right? Nobody voted for him up there. The people that know him best did not vote for him up here in the state of Tennessee because they know who he is. They know what kind of people he is and what kind of kin he is. And they take and demonize CO2. CO2 is not harmful. It won't harm you.
Well,
it's not in the smog in California. It's not. Look, when you go down to the vehicle emissions places, you know, in like California and all these other places that have those, what are they checking for? They're checking for a high level of CO2 because if there's a high level of CO2 coming out of your muffler, that means your catalytic converter is doing its freaking job.
Well, have you noticed how they've moved away, John and Justin and Char and Bing, and we need to start bringing in some callers, but have you noticed how they moved away from the phrase man-made global warming, and because Al Gore's been proven to be the fraud that he is.
Yes.
But they've changed it now to climate change. It's like changing from liberal to progressive. It's now went from man-made global warming to climate change.
And they do the same thing. They do the same thing, guys, in the Agenda 21. Every time people start getting wise, they change the terminology. I tell people all the time, this Agenda 21 is just like the political elephant that we have to eat.
Well, and I just want to say real quick on this green faith, what's really chilling about this, John, and I'm glad you pointed this, I'm going to keep an eye on these folks. What's really chilling about this is proof of how the false religion of secularism has wormed its way into some great faiths. And if it's wormed its way into to the extent that you have, forget about the Episcopalians. They're liberal queers anyway. But some of the other dogmas in there. Well, and look, I was born and raised Episcopalian. I call it like I see it about my own religion.
Well, quit beating around the bush, Bing. Tell us what you really feel.
Dude, I'm serious about it. I'm mad about the Baptists. I don't associate myself with the Southern Baptists, but I'm a Baptist. I just can't believe how they could think this. And these people need to get it out there. Look, I don't know what happened with churches anymore where they can't preach from the pulpit things that relate to us. They preach everything else, but they don't want to preach politics.
Oh, don't get me started. There's another show called The New World Order.
Unless you're in an African-American church, that's correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's correct because of choice.
The rules, you know.
That's correct because of choice, because there is nothing in the law that says a church cannot get up and say anything they want to. And if they even name names, the law, the way the Constitution was set up, is that if they name names, let's say they don't like Obama, don't go out to vote for Obama, don't do that, they actually name names, then the next morning at 12:01 a.m., a whole new law takes effect, and they have no way of going in there and saying you can't have deductibility for that donation to that church. The lies that are out there are massive. There's where people need to go to Liberty Institute with Matt Staver and look at the actual law, word for word, line by line, and see that there is absolutely no prohibition. So it's all by choice. Now, we have a local church here that the pastor has actually gotten up and said, we are not a fighting church. Well, Mr. Pastor, let me tell you something. The Bible has a phrase, contend for the faith, and if you look at the Greek, which I'm sure you know, the words are go to war and fight for the faith. This is what's not happening, and I agree with you. The whole terminology has been taken over by them. Think about H.W. when he was the first one to sign for Agenda 21, and that's the treaty that did not get passed. His statement to the UN was, it is the sacred principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter to which the American people will henceforth pledge their allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
That is how they're usurping the terminology. We are becoming churches filled with churchianity and speaking Christianese and have absolutely no concept. We have pastors that are world-renowned for saying, well, there's no longer saint or sinner. There is only the churched and the unchurched. And the unchurched can be anything you want it to be.
Well, I've been reading Friedrich Hayek's The Road to Serfdom.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic?
It's a very fantastic book, and then as soon as I finish it, because I'm listening, so I end up doing them twice to fully grasp them. Because I sit at work and listen to a book while I'm working, so I always end up listening to it twice. So as soon as I finish it for the second time, I'm going to start researching where the term speaking of words changing, where the term liberal actually changed. Because unbeknownst to me, I've learned a lot from this book by Hayek.
Well, that, look up Theodore Roosevelt. That's where it changed.
Okay, there you go. So because according to Hayek, freedom, free market, liberty was the classical liberal in the late 19th and earliest 20th century that the communist socialists and the Nazi socialists loathed so much. So, but hey, look, that was going off on a rant. We need to start pulling some people in here for questions for you and Shar and for Justin. So let's go ahead. We're going to start with Rick. Billy, you're on deck.
Hey, I really have no questions at the moment, but because this is the first time that I've heard most of this, and it's just astounding.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Melissa said in chat, she said that a preacher friend of hers says the problem is pansies in the pulpit. And I agree with that.
I agree.
That is totally right. Knowing Melissa, she would not write that if she did not feel that. And that's the way I think I feel. I'm so tired.
Yeah, this caller, what was your comment, caller?
That was Rick, and he didn't have one.
Oh.
So I went ahead. He's Rick's one of our hosts, and he helps Bing and I out screening calls and whatnot. But I like to pull him in and see if he's got a question. He didn't have one. So let's go ahead and bring Billy in. Kurt, you're on deck.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Billy?
Hey, Billy.
Okay. I have been actually listening to most of the show. I didn't log into chat. Well, see, I clean around the house when I usually listen to your show, and I don't always log into chat, so I didn't log into chat right away. But I started really, when I was able to actually sit down and pay attention, was when he brought up autism in schools and stuff. And that just, like, totally floored me because my son currently, they go to Catholic school, but he's been diagnosed with ADHD. And I had refused to put him on the pills that they want.
Uh-huh.
I decided to go through my brother-in-law, who's an herbologist, and give him, you know, a special kind of diet and different kinds of herbal type remedies. And that works really good. But now they're trying to say, well, they think he's got Asperger's because he's like super smart. He's got, you know, they wanted to advance him in grades. But at the same time, he actually wants to do schoolwork and not be social at school. And they get, you know, that offends them. That really makes them feel there's something wrong. However, even his, you know, I had to take him to a psychiatrist and all this other stuff to have him die. And they say, everyone says it's absolutely positively not an autism issue. He's just, you know... He's basically following my rule of work hard, play hard. When you're at school, he thinks he has to work hard and not play.
Billy, did I hear you correctly? Did you say that your son prefers to do schoolwork at school and this is a problem for the teachers?
Yeah, well, yes, that's exactly it. And I kind of like tilted my head, looked at them like a stoned puppy, so to speak, and say, oh, why is that wrong? You know, he...
I had to ask. I wasn't sure if I heard you right.
Yeah.
Well, because the schools don't get paid, they don't get paid the same amount. That's why. Seriously, if the kids, they're paid for every child that's put on a drug, so they're trying to get all of the parents to get their kids on Ritalin and all that because they get paid so much for every child that has to go and have the nurse give them their pills every day.
And let me tell you about that Ritalin. I was one of those 1968, 69 guinea pigs on that stuff.
Explains a lot.
Yeah, see, but, well,
oh, what, yeah, now I know where you're coming from.
See, I know what's wrong with you.
Michael, I thought you was just knocked in the head when you was a kid, man. Like,
well,
yeah,
that was...
This,
the,
is,
That was the salad. That was the salad scissors that the naval doctors pulled me out with.
I mean,
I didn't want to leave the security of my capsule.
I'm certainly going to pop in here in a moment.
But I do want to also say a lot of what they're talking about brings me back to something you guys have heard me on my show talk about many, many times, and that is, like, the entire my father-in-law. Now, you should know what I'm saying after I say my father-in-law. His college days back in 55, he would go to, you know, register, and they've got, like, a young communist table. And then next thing you know, it's like a couple days later when people are still registering, he sees the same exact people, only this time they're wearing Save the Trees T-shirts. And it's like, you know, what the heck? And that's when he actually put two and two together and he realized what, you know, the ecological, you know, the environmentalists were all about. And that was nothing more than to convince the government that the sky is falling, basically.
Right.
And to say that the government needs to help fund a way to for man to stop it. Whereas, you know, like I said, I'm Catholic. I have different, you know, views on certain things. But when it comes down to it, I think everyone who's a Christian believes God is sustaining our planet. And God is in control of all things.
Right.
And that's where, you know, when people try playing God and say we have to, you know, fund a way to stop God's wrath, it becomes a real problem for me since I know my tax dollars are funding it, you know, and that's
exactly.
It's a crazy philosophy. And all it is to me, I can't remember the word you used, but I call it a ploy. To give the government more control and take more money in the form of taxes.
Well, it's not just state government. The initiative that Obama wants to sign on to is called the Green Climate Fund, and it literally gives the United Nations the ability to tax us for our violations of environmental issues which have not been defined. So it's not just the federal government. They want to. Somebody said it just a few minutes ago. They want to suck every dime out of the issue. They believe that the utopian society is that which was described by Marx and Engels when the Communist Manifesto. They really believe that, and they believe that no one up to date has done it completely the way it should have been done, including Hitler and Pol Pot and Mao Zedong and Stalin and so forth. They have a better way of doing it. But I guarantee you that when you look at the biodiversity assessment of the world, there is something coherently wrong. Here's why I say that. In their documents on a number of occasions, and Maurice Strong, who's the father of sustainability in the Agenda 21, has come out and they've all made comments that the world population of 500 million. Now, if you know anything about today's world, we're almost at 7 billion. We're past 6 billion. What's going to happen to those people? How do we start discussing a world control of 500 million people? What's going to happen to 6.5 billion people?
Can you say China? One baby laws. Can you say the carousel from Logan's Run?
Right.
I mean, I know that sounds crazy, and that, you know, being vaporized at 30 is probably a bit far fetched. But you know, here's the thing that these liberals that are at my level, my polar opposite, always seem to forget that this one world, this new world order, this one world government notion of utopia and socialism, it always involves two classes.
Correct.
The super wealthy and everyone else who's dirt frickin' poor.
Right.
You know, and it just amazes me that people fall over and over and over again that subsequent generations fall for this Marxist psychobabble bullcrap.
Well, it's the elitists. I mean, it's the same thing that's happened in every country that's failed. I mean, the elitists come in and take over power because they think they know better, the same thing in Germany and so on. And they just, you know, trample over everybody else. They, you know, damn their rights, you know. I mean,
right.
You know, we don't care about their rights. And the next thing you know, well, you know, they sneak into it, like, you know, secretly in back door, and they got the media and the press in their back hip pocket. And, you know, they just end up taking everything over. And then
the
next thing
is,
you know, is that the trains are coming and there's people dying and there's people being loaded on trains to go to Auschwitz and go to, you know, the different concentration camps and so on. And they sit there and they stand back because at that point they've pretty much already lost.
Well, we have two of Obama's own senior advisors saying that if they win the election, there's going to be hell to pay. And that they would be coming after everyone who was in opposition to them. Now, I guarantee you that with the recent graduation of the Homeland Security Force that had a whole, you know, 1,200 kids armed to the teeth, by the way, ready to roll, it's quite possible that you may see me and the people that are on this radio show suddenly disappear. Because
well,
this is how they're going to continue. This is how it's been done in history. This is how it has to be done in history. And then when they get rid of all the opposition, then they're going to go after the loyalists, the useful idiots that got them into position, and they're going to execute and remove them. You go back to the well, Pastor Warnocker's statement that when they came for the communists, I said nothing. When they came for the socialists, I said nothing because I was not one of them. When they came for the Jews, I was not one of them. But now they've come after me, and there's no one left to talk. Silence.
Amen.
Silence in the face of evil is in itself evil.
Right.
And God is not going to hold us guiltless. We are. My point that I've tried to make to everybody, I am commanded to fight for the faith. I am commanded to do this. I'm not going to go up before Jesus and say, I just sat back and thought it wasn't really a big issue.
Well, let's bring on. Oh, where did
well,
you go? Yeah.
Michael, real quick. Flycatch on there said that the host has not mentioned Mao and Stalin killing his citizen. Well,
I did.
I think that's pretty apparent that he's done that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, 300 million people in China. I don't even know what the count is. I know it's at least 250, 300. It's somewhere around in there. And who knows about Russia? Who really knows, you know? And who knows about all these little it really doesn't matter to me. It's people that garner and that hold on to these dictator and these despots and so on without fighting them, without resisting them. Those are the people that I think should be shamed. I don't know about the people that are actually dictators themselves. They should be put in a certain place, and that there is a certain place in hell for them. But the thing is that these people that allow them to do this.
Exactly.
So
well, let's
are
get
the
some
people. And let's get
some more guests in here. We've got quite a few stacking up. Kurt, come on in here. Cindy, you're on deck.
Hello,
Kurt.
Oh, hey, okay. My ear was doing something else at the moment.
My ears do that all the time.
Well, I'm listening to what's being said here this afternoon, and my alarm system is going off in my head again. I'm going to get on my favorite subject, has been for quite some time now. We're on the subject of Agenda 21, and guess whose name popped in my mind right away? Bill Haslam. We've been talking about Bill Haslam for the last couple of months, I don't know, and his relationships with certain Muslim organizations like AMAC and CARE and et cetera, which is something not to be left aside or disregarded. But let's turn the page over here for just a moment, and let's refresh our memory that Bill Haslam is the guy who, as mayor of Knoxville, brought Agenda 21 to East Tennessee. He's the daddy of it. He gave birth to Agenda 21 in the state of Tennessee. We have kind of forgotten that just a little bit, okay? But now all that we're talking about today, all the smart growth, anything that's got green in its name, unless it's green cheese, anything that's got green in its name or smart growth or sustainable growth, you can hook it up to Agenda 21 really, really quickly. You can hook it up there. So he birthed that over in East Tennessee, and now where is he? He's in the governor's chair in Nashville. So with the administration that we have in power in Washington as of today, hopefully that will change starting next Tuesday.
Amen.
I'm not looking forward to. I believe that it is indeed going to change next Tuesday. I think we'll have a new president-elect. I am not looking forward to the days between November 7th and the inauguration of the new president, because anything can and may happen. I don't know. I'm not going to predict. I'm not going to speculate on that. I just know that that concept of what Obama can and probably will do during his lame duck session makes me extremely nervous.
Yeah.
However, if we can get by that, this is what, for the next 2 years, my number one priority is to make Bill Haslam as toxic as possible so that he can never be reelected to any public office. I'm fighting with some of the local Republicans here. As a matter of fact, there's a state of war between me and some of the upper echelon of the Henry County GOP, Henry County Republican Party, because of my stance on this. And frankly, in public here, I'm kind of playing it low profile because I'm going to run for chair of the Henry County Republican Party in January. And wish me luck on that one, folks. Because
amen.
You go for it, Bubba.
That was a unanimous agreement at a meeting in West Tennessee back on the 8th of September. The one thing that we needed to do, I'm not going to describe this group or tell you anything about them, but they said that the one thing that we need to do is for us right-wing radical Tea Party types to maintain or gain control of the county Republican Party systems, because I have people, as a matter of fact, there are people that I attend church with. We're in the same church every Sunday. But since I have taken the position that I have on Bill Haslam, they're fighting me in this in this battle for over the chairmanship of the GOP. They're trying to prop up Bill Haslam, who is the daddy of Agenda 21, who is the daddy of hooking up Muslim people to top government posts in the state of Tennessee, allowing AMAC, American Muslim Advisory Council, and CARE, and other people like that to their position of access to the areas of state government. So you folks are you're on track.
Here's a statement for Islamic people. Here's a statement that I firmly believe in. This is John Marler. If we keep fighting the system, what we need to do is become the system. If we don't put our people into office, I call it percolation. Okay. Nobody got to the presidency, the Congress, and the Senate unless they started in somewhere in a city council, county government, state legislature. Something started them out in their battle. And what we're not doing is we're not vetting our candidates for even the city offices on their knowledge of Agenda 21 and the surrender of sovereignty of that city, that county, that state, that nation to the United Nations global movement.
And I don't know about another states, but here in Texas, the people that dole out those dollars are our county commissioners. And I'm not real fond of our county commissioner here in my precinct. Tried to get rid of him, but he won the primary. But that, you know, and people don't generally tend to look that far down ballot, John.
Yes. They don't. There's so many, especially here in Texas, I think a vast, almost 50% of the vote is straight ticket voters. Right. Just, that doesn't make sense to me. I just don't see how that's possible.
Well, let's bring Cindy in, and then Sue, you're on deck.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm trying to get out of a noisy spot here. Actually, I'm going to do some tree work in the backyard. But back to the something that sparked my thoughts earlier when we were talking about people recognizing and hearing, as soon as you start hearing certain names, they like to change it to other names. What
yes.
we have to do, I think, is make sure that people understand the concept at the root level so that they recognize it, whatever the names. I mean, names are helpful, and nothing wrong with teaching that because people will kind of latch on to that. And but show them what the concepts they're doing, like the stack and pack and housing. You know, that's kind of our word for it. That's not their word for it. So you won't
right.
ever see that. But if that's the concept, and why are they doing this, and where is it all leading? And maybe we need to do a better job of getting the documentation, the wording of the document itself, and saying, you see this kind of end result here of a mixed-use development with smart streets and all that kind of stuff, but that's fine now, but what that's going to lead to, and what else, the same document that tells us to do that is the same document that tells us, you know, that lawnmowers are evil,
yeah.
you know, lawns are bad, people are bad, raw meat is bad. Those other things that then they can go extrapolate to realize, well, maybe it's this today, but it's going to be something else tomorrow. But I think I see a lot of communities that are putting this into place that are doing a kind of Agenda 21 light. For example, there's a development in my community in North Richland Hills that is has used a lot of the concepts from one of your lead builders. Plus, it's a community that you can do within the community. You can do anything that you need to do to sustain your life practically. I mean, there's businesses, there's residents, all kind of in an area. There's a school, there's a library, there's a rec center, and all that's in there together. And it's, you know, convenient. You could bike or walk to any of it, okay? But the houses in the one of the development in there are ginormous, expensive houses. And we know that that's not where they're at right now. And also pointing out communities like the one in California where they have this almost a contest to see who can have the smallest house, 200-square-foot house. And then another area, I can't remember, it seemed like on the East Coast, the West Coast was the two places that they were implementing that. So just to kind of help show people the progression, well, here's where California started several years ago, and now this is where they're at now, since they're a good model to see where it's going, you know. How would you like to have to live in a 200-square-foot house, you know, that type of thing. So not only just terms, but concepts. And then regardless of what they make the name, when people start to read about it, you know, they'll go, oh, well, that's the same thing this other was, and that's just Agenda 21 also. So.
All yeah, right, Cindy, we'll stand by.
Cindy, I agree.
Let's go ahead and bring in Ron here. I want to get these last few callers in, and then we'll loop around and try to go, you know, get let everybody go again. So, Ron, come on in here, buddy.
Hello.
I'm
this brand new owner of a new smart meter. Everybody knows about this, I guess, but a few on there. But what I thought was bad happening to other people, now when it starts happening to me, it really gets serious. And so I'm getting on board with some people in Georgia to try to see what we can do about this foolishness. But anyway, y'all go ahead on, get some other people in there to talk about things.
Ron, congratulations on being the proud owner of a smart meter and paying for it for each month. I got to tell you.
I hadn't gotten my bill yet. I'm waiting on that. It's like I exploded getting the thing. You wait till they try to charge me $75 for it. They'll have to put me in jail because I will not do it.
Oh, you're going to be on the 7 o'clock news is what you're saying.
Are the 6 and the 5 and probably 5.
Ron, where do you live?
I'll remember the little people when I get there.
Where in Georgia do you live, Ron?
Ringgold, North Georgia.
He's close to Chattanooga, from what I recall, right?
Are you on Facebook, Ron?
Yeah, he is.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go to Resist Smart Meters group, and you could probably connect to some people.
Yeah, I'm a member of that group.
Put a link on the chat screen so I don't have to copy this down.
I'll get it on there.
But yeah, I'll grab a link and we'll put
there's
it on.
There's a couple of guys that are up for election to the Public Service Commission on Tuesday that we can vote for here that have vowed to go against all these smart meters. And you can bet your life they're getting my vote.
Good job, buddy.
All right, well, let's bring...
And look, motivate other people, too. You got to get people out and tell them what this is because they don't know. They just think, okay, this is some cool kind of device that they're putting on my house. They don't even understand the implications or the ramifications of this.
Yeah, put resist Texans against smart meters. We have a document on there that's called What Do You Know About Smart Meters? And it'll help you convey what it is. It was done by DB Kidd, and it's an excellent document. Next.
Who knows, John? This smart meter might be the UN's future plan for population control.
Personally, I believe it is. I think it's a key part of it. You can't have control on each house or each individual home unless the smart meter is the way. And I don't know if anybody ever looked into it, but we had here in Georgetown, we had our sustainability director. We're 47,000 people in Georgetown. We have a sustainability director that came out to our 912 group and presented the reason why we should just be leaping over each other to get one of these meters on our house. And when I started confronting her on the facts of what science has actually proven on these things and the fact that none of the tests that they quote talk about the radiation going into the tissue. And I think the explanation I love is the one that you look at your human body, it is a plethora of electronic circuitry. And these beams are being beamed inside. And this is why autism and bleeding eyeballs and arrhythmias and all this stuff are happening. But the results are that these people are just flat being killed. And when I've been on the 3-hour debate with the biggest utility here in Texas called Oncor. I was with their senior vice president of communication. And at the end of it, after I'd shown that he'd lied on a number of occasions, even as to his position when he was on the deal, he got so upset that when I said this, someday there may very well be a new Nuremberg trial in the United States where you and all your administration will be brought up on murder charges for the deaths that you will cause through these smart meters. Finding the proof is the key to it, and if we find the proof, we're going to be able to nail these people and cause them enormous, enormous grief. Everything, and this is what we're trying to tell our state. You are putting things out here that are just absolutely horrible, that are going to kill people. And even our beloved Secretary of Defense, Panetta, says our next 9/11 is going to be an EMF attack. Well, what's more susceptible, the power lines that come under under us, or the ones that are going to be on strictly dedicated to the wireless connectivity?
Absolutely.
Right. Who was it that said something about maybe these smart meters are the next step in population control?
That
you
was
know,
Michael.
There is there's a video on Texans Against Smart Meters by Curtis Bennett, and he talks about the fact that they believe that they in fact are damaging the ovaries of young girls, which i.e. makes them of course sterile.
Yes.
Hey, Shar and John and Justin, I mean, if I go over to your site, can I copy over the PDFs and so on that you got over there and
everything?
Post them on Trad-Am?
Absolutely, absolutely. You just got to promise to share it.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord, we'll share it.
Let's pull in.
And I'll tell you what, that man that was on there just a few minutes ago, Ron Adcox, that guy was sure a lot of stuff. So
let's pull in our friend from a long time ago.
Padre and Sue.
Yes, let's get in Padre Thomas Smith here. Padre, how you doing?
I'm pissed.
And what are you pissed about? Was it about the Christian, the greenfaith.org thing, or what's got you upset today, Padre?
I don't get to vote.
Oh, why?
Well, the Kansas City Elections Board failed to mail out my absentee ballot. Never mind the fact that the application was faxed to them over 3 weeks ago, and my friend who I'm currently working on her campaign in Kansas for the Kansas State Senate faxed it from her office, and she happens to work out of the home office of a sitting United States congressman. So there is no way in hell they did not receive my application.
Well, can't you vote on Tuesday?
No, I can't. I'm over 250 miles from where I live, where I'm registered. And I have no car, and I have no other, other way to get there. And never mind the fact that we have campaign activities that we're going to be working on all day here.
You don't know a dead Democrat that could do it for you?
Well, I was going to say, Padre, I'll ask the liberal out here how they do it, and I'll vote twice.
You can use my grandmother's name. She's been dead about 20 years, but that's okay. You can use her name.
Well, that is very frustrating indeed, Padre.
You know, Michael, we haven't talked about the election that much. I mean, you know, a little bit, but not that much. But this is just bringing everything home. It's like these people are just out there. They're ruthless. They're grasping at straws. They don't have nothing to go back on. They can't say a 7.9% job report, unemployment report is great. This is more than what he had when he took his office.
Well, and actually,
it's more like 14.5% when you get down to it.
This particular show is actually kind of, in a way, it's pre, but in large part it's post election talk, because we have to be ever so vigilant in the lame duck session. We've got I don't know that Agenda 21 is up for anything, but there are three treaties that are closely associated with Agenda 21. That's the Persons with Disabilities Treaty, a gun treaty, and one other that escapes me right at the moment.
Small arms treaty.
These are all loosely associated with Agenda 21. Will have major impact on U.S. sovereignty.
Oh, I don't know. I can't move nowhere because there's nowhere else that I want to move to. So I'm going to stick it out here. And I'm just saying that after the election, it is not over. Not by a long shot. We have to keep going. We have to keep moving. We have to keep taking these people into an account. We have to keep kicking them in the butt. We have to keep doing it.
Here's the thing. If we don't take the Senate, we are going to be very busy. Harry Reid came out on Thursday and said that, and Rush was talking about it. It was quite interesting what Rush was saying and some of the things he was pointing out. But for Harry to even do this implies the nerves are almost shot on that side of the aisle. He said that he indicated that with a Mitt Romney presidency that he would do nothing to help his agenda, that he would block it at all necessary avenues of approach. Now, here's the thing. That means for the next 2 years, we're going to be very busy trying to replace that Senate in the midterms in 2014.
Right.
So we've got that to look for. Plus, for my fellow Texians on the line with us, we have a lieutenant governor and governor's race coming up.
Only declared candidates are all Agenda 21.
Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I know this is not going to be popular, but David Dewhurst is not for Agenda 21, I will tell you that.
Yeah, and I think he got a dose of religion in the last election, and I think that he may be willing to listen to the grassroots a lot more than he had before, but we wouldn't be progressing in the Senate of the Texas legislature if it weren't for Dewhurst. He has actually stepped up and said what he was going to do and did what he said he was going to do. And
He actually has gone even further than what he told us that he would do that morning, John, because he did actually, in fact, call a meeting also with the chairperson, Nelson, with the PUC. And he presented a lot of the information that we gave him that morning to her.
Well, we've already given it to her, too.
Right, right.
We have a PUC in Texas, by the way, that does not open their meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance. That had to be forced upon them during one of the meetings.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Yeah, that shows the mindset of our PUC regulators. This is the sad part of America, that we are standing by thinking that the guy who puts his hand on a Bible and lifts his and raises his right and says, I promise to uphold the Constitution, I swear to uphold the Constitution, just like anybody that went into the military, they don't mean it. It's an ends to a means, and the means is to get in there and have the power. And just if we don't percolate people that have been vetted on Agenda 21 and the New World Order and make sure that they know every step of the way, we will not change anything. If we keep electing county commissioners and city councilmen and all that stuff that just are willing to sign off every bit of our sovereignty, there's no opportunity for us to have an America.
Well, I think earlier this week the supporters, the sheeple at an Obama rally, pretty well summed it up when Obama gave himself away in his disdain for our system when he said, vote for revenge purposes.
Yeah.
For revenge reasons. Vote for revenge.
If that was George Bush saying that, he would be crucified. He would be hung up on the cross. I'm telling you.
Swearing out with, oh, my gosh, I didn't mean to say that. Please accept my apology.
Yeah.
We've got so many spineless Republicans that you can't really tell if they're Republicrats or Democrats.
Well, here's the thing about George Bush in comparison to Barack Obama. George Bush, we all know I respect and admire President Bush for what he did after. Do what, Bing?
I said he flopped it on the end with the
yes, he did. He turned totally progressive at the last 2 years.
Absolutely. But like I was saying, for what he did after September 11th, I have all the due respect for him in the world. But we all know that first of all, he was a neoconservative, and we all know that President Bush had a tendency to flub up the English language. But that wasn't a Freudian slip on his part. Barack Obama, he makes Freudian slips that are true representations of how he really thinks.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. You know, I mean, to some degree, I think Biden's kind of like George Bush in the respect of his the stupid things he says. I don't think it's necessarily a Freudian slip. He's just a dumbass. But Obama gives us a true glimpse into his soul every now and then. And earlier this week, we got a really good look at it.
Yeah.
And the sheeple in the crowd all applauded.
Yeah.
All those American brothers and sisters all applauded to that remark. Now, as a veteran, or if you're an active duty person, just speaking from purely that standpoint, that's an insult that anybody would consider voting for revenge.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, Thomas.
I got something interesting for you. The candidate that I'm working with is she's a Republican, and she's a black Republican. And check this
out. Name.
Her name's Kenya Cox. Here's something interesting for you. In the state party, when you send out mailers, you can run the mailers through the state party where it wouldn't be known that it comes from you. So, you know, if somebody says it could get back to you, there's plausible deniability. But they told the people at the Sedgwick County Republicans office, they told our campaign manager that that's what was done. And he asked them, he said, because they were telling him that you could do that. And he said, well, how come you never told me? I was asking you about that. And this is what they said. We didn't tell you because we didn't think he could win in a heavily Democratic district. Now, hold on. Before you guys comment on that, I want to say this, because whoever said that the Republican Party are a bunch of, well, the establishment party are a bunch of spineless cowards, they're right. Let me tell you something. Why is it that our party, we only want to take the battle to the places where we know we're going to win? If we want change in this nation, we better start taking our asses into the Democratic strongholds and start showing them why our message that we say we believe in is the better message. Because if we don't believe in it, why are you Republicans? Why are you conservatives?
We have a phenomenal man here in Texas by the name of Apostle Claver, K-L-A-V-E-R.
I know him very well.
Runs a website called Raging Elephants, and he does a door-to-door canvas of black and Hispanic communities. And every single place he goes through a questionnaire, and he says, is this your view? Is this your view? Is this your view? And in every situation, every single home, he has shown them that their particular values are exactly what the Republican Party says and is in direct opposition by the Democratic Party, and he
right.
blows them away. He puts up billboards all over the state that GOP is the new black. Martin Luther King was a Republican. This is what we need to do. We need to reach out and start talking to everybody as
right.
equals and let them understand that we respect who they are and we want them to join forces in the battle for the right that they
right.
have.
Exactly.
Actually, John, that's how he started Raging Elephants. But he's not doing that any longer. He is actually focused on grassroots candidates now.
Well, yeah, but he's still putting those billboards up. He just released a few of them.
He does the billboards, but they're not doing the door to door anymore. Because I was real involved in that a couple of years ago, but we did a lot of door knocking for a long time. And he has got the documented proof. By the polls or the questionnaires that we did at the doors, and I'm
yeah.
telling you, the people of color, they're more conservative than a lot of us are.
Well, yeah, a lot of us don't go out there and talk to them. A lot of us think that it's a lost cause.
Right.
And that's not the...
That's what's coming down.
I think in some aspects we lost focus on this because conservatives are not racist. Liberals are racist. And I think that I don't know any conservative that I know, a true conservative, that is a racist. We've gotten over that. We've learned to live with that. It doesn't bother us no more, you know. I mean, we can sit there and agree with certain people. We can sit there and disagree with certain people, too. And it doesn't matter about the faith or anything. Yeah,
Bing, let me make your point for you. Let me help you with the point.
Thank you.
I am the only black person on her campaign staff, and she's black.
Oh,
our
wow.
treasurer, for all those liberals who say that wealthy white people don't like black people, our treasurer and her husband, two of the most humble people that I've ever met. When I met Lisa, she gave me a hug. Her and her husband are worth, they're not worth that much, only a few hundred million dollars because they're in the oil business. So don't tell me to you liberals, don't tell me that wealthy white conservatives don't like black people and they don't like black conservatives and all this, because our treasurer on this campaign is very wealthy. Very wealthy. And she opened her arms in love to Kenya because they've been friends for 18 years. So being to your point, you're absolutely right. Conservatives are not racist, but the fact of the matter is we've allowed liberals to package us as racist to the point that you have the establishment turn and tell and run based over a comment that was made by two congressmen that in the gist of them were actually factually accurate.
Yeah,
and we won't even go into that, but and they still, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, they still refuse to support Congressman Aiken. They're now trying to run away from Richard Murdoch in Indiana. But let me tell you something. Let's put everything else aside for a minute. If you don't have life, how you going to increase your tax base? You wonder why we have, I think it's $1.9 trillion of wealth that's missing from our economy because of the fact that there will never be the 50 million American lives plus that was erased. That's a whole nother topic. But Michael, you guys, I love you all to pieces. I got to go get ready for my show at 5. You guys are more than welcome to come over because I'm going to address, I'm going to do something they say I'm not supposed to do. I'm a mixed faith in politics. Uh-huh. And I'm going to talk about the voter issue. And I'm a come unleashed because I'm sick and damn tired, God excuse my expression, for we as conservatives getting a bad name talking about voter suppression. Let's talk about voter suppression. Last time I looked, it was the Democrats who used to stand at the polling places with shotguns back in the day in the 1870s, 80s, and 90s to keep black people from voting Republican.
Absolutely.
Jim,
Padre.
Jim Crow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and who freed the slaves?
The Republican Party was started to in opposition to slavery.
I know, but the Democratic Party will have you believe that they are the ones that freed the slaves, by God, and they'll sit there and free you all from, you know, whatever else that they got coming for you.
Well, I got to inject a little time management here. We're about to run out of it. And I want to run back through, starting with John. But Padre, thanks so much for joining us today, folks. You can join Padre Smith. He is the Invisible Conservative. Just search for him in your search bar on Blog Talk, or go to the folks that I follow. I follow on here on Blog Talk, Conservative Nation Radio shows follows the Invisible Conservative, and that would be you could just click his name and go right to his link. So thank you very much, Padre. I'll be chatting with you.
All right, Michael. You guys all have a good evening.
Thanks, brother. Love you.
Love you too.
Let's start back up here with Justin. And Justin, go ahead. We're winding down quickly, so give me about 2 minutes. Final thoughts. John, you're on deck. And just everybody hang on the line. I'm going to get to you.
Well, I just want to thank you for having us. And I would just encourage people to know your rights, believe in individual liberty, go back to the grassroots, cling to your Bibles, cling to your religion, fight the councils of government.
That's right, us bitter clingers, Justin. And Justin,
yeah, cling to those, and maybe get some more to cling on to too.
I'm a proud bitter clinger.
There you go. And just participate. Educate yourself. Educate your kids. I think that's critical. I think education is key. You know, 4 years ago, I started on a journey, didn't really know the proper roles of government, and I see so many elements that are so out of whack. And if we just band together, form a task force, and take things, how to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. And, you know, we just need to band together and identify the problems here in Texas, at the state level, at the local level, at a regional level, form our own committees and fight back, educate the community, and we can take back America. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will, one bite at a time. And it's shows like this that get the word out, educate people, and that's really where it all starts. And I really appreciate this platform.
You're quite welcome, Justin. Hang tight to the end of the show, and be looking forward to a show that Patriot's going to start, some hours I'm donating to the Agenda 21 cause, so that Patriot can take this and fly with it and build a format around Agenda 21. John, go ahead and give us a couple of minutes, and Shar, you're on deck. John, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes,
go
I
ahead.
Am.
Go ahead, John. Give us a couple of minutes.
I'd have to. I want to wind it up with a quote from Ronald Reagan. Are you willing to spend time studying the issues, making yourself aware, and then conveying that information to family, friends, and neighbors? Will you resist the temptation to get a government handout for your community? Realize that the doctor's fight against socialized medicine is your fight. We cannot socialize the doctors without socializing the patients. Recognize that government invasion of public power is eventually an assault upon your own home. If some among you fear taking a stand because you are afraid of reprisals from customers, clients, or even the government, recognize that you are just feeding the crocodile, hoping that he will eat you last.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, John. And, John, you too, keep your eyes peeled for the upcoming After the Elections Agenda 21 show that Shar will be doing on Conservative Nation Radio shows. Shar, and then Billy, you're on deck.
I don't really have a lot to say except that, you know, I just think that, you know, shows like this are real important. We have to educate the people first, and I agree with what Justin said, too, in that I think we have got to start cleaning up our own yard, starting at that local level, and this is not just Texas. It's every state needs to start in their own yard. Clean up your own yard, then move out into the subdivision, then move on out. I mean, how can we clean up, you know, the nation when we can't even clean up our own yard?
Absolutely, Shar. And Shar, after Tuesday night, we'll get together because you are going to start building a show focused on Agenda 21, and I'm guessing maybe some other treaties that affect UN sovereignty or whatever. I don't know. That's up to you, but we'll be looking forward to getting with you later this week and working with you on the studio here. Let's see. Billy, you're on deck. Billy, you're up. Ron, you're on deck. And then Kurt.
Well, it's been a great show, Michael, as always. And
well,
I just
that's Shar.
What?
That's all Shar. She pretty much did this show today.
Oh, well, it's just as good as all the rest of them. And I just want to say Abomination is on Thursdays from 7 p.m. Central Time to 9 p.m. Central Time. And you can always catch me right here on Conservative Nation.
Hi,
and we will have a good time. And thank you very much, Michael. This has been a good show.
Thanks, partner. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Let's see. Ron, you're up. Kurt, you're on deck. And then Rick.
Got two quick things to say. I too, am a bear clinger, clinging to Christ, wife, country, guns, and traditional Americans everywhere. Also, when you think about this election next Tuesday, keep in mind that it's going to be a Chick-fil-A election. You ought to scream it loud every chance you get. I'm moving on.
Yeah, I like that, Ron. I like this whole aspect. I mean, this, you know, after you vote, go to Chick-fil-A.
I think I'm going to do that.
Over there. I think,
I think I'm
going to
do that.
Michael, if you go up there, get like two dinners and eat two of them for me, because it takes, it's gonna like 40 minutes or something for me to get to Chick-fil-A from here.
All right, brother, I'll mail them to you. Kurt, come on in here. Give us a couple of final thoughts.
It won't take me long, Michael. Everybody here knows what you're supposed to do and what you need to do Monday, Tuesday. Then come Wednesday, it's time to go back to work, folks. Y'all have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Brother Kurt, very much. And real quickly, I want to drag Rick in here. Rick, give us your show details. My brother, thank you for screening calls today. Rick, you there, bro? All right. Bing.
Yeah.
Final words, my brother. Another good show. Patriot, John, Justin, they all did a good show. We're going to get these guys set up on Conservative Nation Radio shows doing an Agenda 21-oriented weekly show.
Oh, yeah. I think that's great, man. The show numbers are great for them if they can do it, and I think they can do it. I know they can do it. So I don't really have much to say other than, you know, we have to understand where the media and so on is coming from. I don't understand where they say that 54% of the people are, you know, aggravated at the president, or, you know, they don't follow the president, but the race is a dead heat. I'm going to go on record saying I'm thinking about, I don't know, 280, something like that.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say 300.
I might go 298. Okay, but yeah, I might do something on Trad-Am where I give a prize away for the person that's closest to the total electoral count. But dude, get up. You know, I know you already voted. I'm waiting to vote. I don't like to vote early because it's just something I don't like to do. But anyways. You know, great show with everybody. It was just a great chance to get with everybody and so on. We just need to keep it going. Keep it going.
Absolutely, brother. Well, we're about to run out of time here, folks. Tuesday is D-Day. If you've not voted, come hell or high water, get out and vote on Tuesday. And take at least one person with you. This election is about the future of our country and whether we shall leave our children a socialist America under the rule of the dictator Barack Hussein Obama, or in a capitalist America under the sound leadership of Mitt Romney. Remember, patriots, it takes a lot of vigilance. Vigilance to keep liberty. With that, this has been another great show. I'm going to end with a song I'm stealing back from the 60s.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times they are a-changing. mothers and fathers throughout the land. And don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the time